I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's time to take a look at the world of sports. With us today is Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai.
So it's basketball season, but football is in the news this week.
Well, right? You know, that's right, because the NFL draft is starting Saturday, and because of Adam Pac-Man Jones. The Tennessee Titans are washing their hands of the controversial cornerback, who's been arrested 6 times, by the way, and are trading him to the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, and did I mention he's currently on suspension by the league? Everybody is talking about this deal, and that includes our Sports Bloggers Roundtable. Joining me today are Marcus Vandenberg, a senior producer at BET.com and author of the sports blog Play a Hater, and Terrence Harris, sports writer and blogger for the Houston Chronicle. Hello, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing great, thank you. As we said, Pac-Man is going to do Dallas if the commissioner lets him back in the league. If you're wondering why this is interesting to followers of the NFL, consider this. Jones was involved in an incident outside a strip club in Las Vegas during last year's NBA All-Star weekend. Now, police are saying that Jones paid a guy $15,000 in connection with that incident, in which a club employee was shot, by the way. Jones pled no contest to charges of disorderly conduct, and that comes on top of several other run-ins with the law that the 24-year-old cornerback has had in the last 3 years. So he was suspended by the league, still is, and now comes this trade. That's the backstory. So, Marcus, today a lot of teams see him as more trouble than he's worth, but apparently that does not include the Dallas Cowboys, who gave up a 4th-round draft pick to get him. Should Pac-Man be allowed to come back to the league?
I think Pac-Man should have one last chance. You know, we're founded on this country as giving people second, third chances, and he did his time. He sat out for a year, so I think he should have one last chance. But if he slips up one time while in Dallas, I think that should be it. I think Roger Goodell will drop the hammer on him, and that'll be it for Pac-Man.
Well, let me ask you, Terrence, is this a good deal for Dallas if the league does, in fact, reinstate Pac-Man and the trade goes through?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this guy is, for all of the problems he may cause, I mean, he also offers something that you just can't find very often in the NFL or anywhere, and that's a shutdown corner. I mean, and those are valuable. And so, no, I think that, you know, Pac-Man Jones, this was a great investment by Jerry Jones to pick him up. I mean, and right now all you're giving up is a 4th-round draft pick, and it only gets more expensive if the guy shows up and actually does what he's supposed to do. Otherwise, all you've really given up is a 4th-round pick who may or may not really make your team and certainly won't make an impact. You know, so this was a great, great business move on the part of the Dallas Cowboys. And I have a feeling that Pac-Man Jones probably realizes that, you know, that, hey, this is the end of the line, and I got to do things right this time or else I'm out.
We'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
Let's move on to the NFL draft beginning on Saturday. Now, the Miami Dolphins say that they've come to an agreement with Michigan offensive lineman Jake Long, who will be the number one pick. But the draft is scheduled to officially begin on Saturday. So, Marcus, does this early signing kill any intrigue that the draft may have had in the past?
No, I don't think so. We've seen this before with teams negotiating deals with players. You know, the draft has become such an event, thanks to ESPN, that I think, you know, knowing the Dolphins are taking Jake Long won't take any suspense out of the draft. I'm looking forward to where Darren McFadden lands up. You know, he could either go to the Raiders at the 4th pick, or he could actually fall down to the 6th pick of the New York Jets. So I think there's a lot of storylines still dealing with the 1st round of the NFL draft on Saturday.
Well, you know, every year, Terrence, the argument is whether a team, and I know you've heard this, whether a team should draft by position need or take, quote, the best athlete available. Is that really true, though? And what do teams want most in a player?
Well, I mean, I think you do. You need, I mean, you have to draft, I think, by need, you know, more so than anything. But a lot of times, like when you're picking number one, that probably means you probably pretty much need everything. So, you know, you can't go wrong. I mean, like the Dolphins, you know, going with Jake Long, I mean, you know, prototype type left tackle. I mean, those franchise left tackle, those aren't exactly grown trees. So, you know, when you have an opportunity to take a guy like him, you do. And I think, you know, when you look out over, you know, the overall talent, I mean, there's a lot of great talent coming out this year. But, I mean, I don't think that you look at any of those guys and you say, man, I can't get another quarterback in a couple of years, because those quarterbacks are coming. I mean, the quarterbacks that are coming out this year aren't necessarily that special. You look at McFadden, you know, he's done great. But, I mean, we don't know, you know, if he'll be a franchise-type running back or not. I mean, if you look at the history of top running college running backs who come into the NFL, a lot of times those just don't really work out. It's a crapshoot. This left tackle business, I mean, that was a smart move on their part. I like that move. But, you know, you have to draft, by need.
By need. All right, we'll see what happened. What's going to happen. It also seems that there is some interest in drafting good citizens now, if you can. But more so, they want you to be able to play than to be a good citizen. That's the way it seems to be going. But let's move on to the NBA, because a lot's going on there. A busy week for the NBA this week. First round of playoffs in full effect. And already we have seen some nasty play, like in the Cleveland Cavaliers-Washington Wizards series. And one argument, Marcus, that always comes up, and it has again this week, is whether the league wants certain teams to keep playing and whether certain superstars get protected by the refereeing. Of course, I'm referring to the flagrant foul on LeBron James by the Wizards' Brendan Haywood. James wasn't hurt, although he could have been, and Haywood was ejected. And then he said in his defense, come on, this is the playoffs, and no one was trying to hurt James. Haywood wasn't suspended, but should he have been?
No, I don't think so. And actually, on that play, I think Brendan Haywood should have done that a lot earlier. You know, you have LeBron James just driving down the paint at will. One of your guys has to step up and say, hey, LeBron, it's not going to happen. You need to lay down a hard foul. It's part of the playoffs. You know, I think that the non-suspension, I don't think Brendan was actually trying to hurt LeBron. But I also think that, you know, it's something that should have been earlier, and no suspension is fine on this part.
Well, you know, Terrence, a lot of clubs are up 2-0 in the first round, but that could be attributed to holding home court advantage. We'll see as we go into game threes. Or are we going to see a bunch of four-game sweeps in round one of this year's playoffs, do you think?
I think in a couple of situations, you're probably looking at four-game sweeps. I mean, I think right now you look at how, you know, Utah's playing against the Rockets. I mean, I think that, you know, they took two games on the Rockets' home court, so now they get to go home, you know, for two games. And so you have to think that that's probably, you know, a series that's definitely, you know, set up for a sweep in the wrong direction. Then you look at, you look at how the Lakers are playing right now with Kobe, and after what Kobe did last night, I mean, and you have to feel like the momentum is there for them. I mean, Boston and Atlanta, you have to feel like, I mean, that's one of those. I mean, I still have not a great feel for the Cleveland Wizards series, although, I mean, I'm a guy who's from Cleveland, so therefore I think the Haywood should be suspended. I thought that was an unnecessary foul. I think there's a right way and a wrong way to play basketball, so I disagree a little bit on that. Should have happened earlier. It should not have happened.
Is that because you're from Cleveland?
No, you don't play basketball that way. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, there's a right and a wrong way, and leveling hard fouls is not, you know, that's not how you play basketball.
Well, it certainly is the way the NBA has been played as long as I've been watching it,
yeah, but
particularly during the playoff time.
Yeah, no, that's not how you play basketball. I mean, that was wrong, and he did. He went after LeBron, I mean, in a way where he was trying to hurt the guy. It was just fortunate that he didn't get hurt. And, you know, and that, once again, I don't think you go out to try to hurt people. I mean, you do try to defend your lane and defend your area, and, you know, and not let people just attack the basketball or attack the basket, but there's a right and a wrong way to do things. But, no, I think that also may be a series where, you know, you look at it and you could say, you know, the Wizards could get swept, especially after the way that last game ended.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this for a minute, guys, because it keeps coming up year after year after year. It's one of those conspiracy kind of theories that will never probably be completely resolved or will ever go away entirely. But here's the question. Marcus, do you think that the league, the NBA, is, wink, wink, angling for a Lakers-Celtics final?
No, I think everyone in the NBA is hoping for a Celtics-Lakers finals. I don't think their actions on the courts in terms of the referees are going to impact that outcome. You know, I don't think the NBA really wants to see Detroit, San Antonio in the finals. I think the ratings will take a huge dip if that happens. So, you know, as sports fans, we also want to see the best matchup. So as fans, we actually, you know, we were rooting for the Lakers and Celtics, I would think, for the best matchup. So, no, I don't think the NBA has any outcome on the final situation on the court.
You agree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, I think that that, you know, Boston and the Lakers will probably end up in the finals because they're the two best teams. How about that one?
That's a good argument.
They're the two best teams with the most talented teams out there right now. So I think that's why we're going to see them in the finals, not because of some conspiracy theory. I mean, referees, I mean, they may influence calls here or there, but they can't really influence an entire series. The better team is going to win. I mean, you know, it's always going to prevail. Believe that.
All right, let's talk about Isaiah Thomas and the New York Knicks. The Knicks finally dropped the axe on him after months of speculation. Two axes, actually. First from his front office job and then from his coaching spot. Two things. First to you, Marcus. Who should replace him as the coach? You know, there's speculation that GM Donnie Walsh may hire former Knick Mark Jackson or maybe even Herb Williams. Jeff Van Gundy has already said no thanks. Scott Skiles has gone to the Bucks. So what's left?
I would go with Mark Jackson at this point. They have nothing to lose. The Knicks franchise is a complete mess. You at least be bringing back a former Knicks player, a guy that the players respect, a fan favorite in New York, and give him opportunity to sort of turn this team around. You really can't get any worse. So why not bring a young face back into the NBA coaching game and hire Mark Jackson?
So, Terrence, what happens to Isaiah, though? That's my question for you. I mean, is he head coaching material for another team? Is he through in the NBA? I mean, he has been ordered to stay away from Knicks players. That's pretty cold, isn't it?
I mean, Isaiah Thomas needs to go away, period. You know, my question is, why did it take so long? I mean, the guy, after the whole, you know, sexual harassment, you know, debacle, you know, this past summer and how that played out, I mean, and the things that went on there, that in itself just told me that this guy really doesn't get it, you know, and that, you know, maybe, you know, we want to remember Isaiah as a great player. He's just tarnishing that memory, that image with every step he's made, you know, since he left playing pro basketball. Every professional step he's made since then has just been, you know, it's been a huge failure in this situation. I mean, he's decimated this franchise. I mean,
well, Terrence, how do you really feel about Isaiah Thomas?
I mean, I'm just saying, guys, this dude is terrible. I mean, he's terrible for basketball. He should just go away. He has, you know, plenty of money in the bank and enjoy his life, and we won't have to deal with him. I mean, and as far as who, they need a magician to come in there to reverse what's going on here in the last 7 years. They have not won. They've had seven straight losing seasons. He got this team stocked. Now, all of that isn't on Isaiah, of course, but this team right now is stocked with a bunch of guys who aren't really worth a whole lot. I mean, he's taking everybody's bad trade.
Well, let me interrupt you to end with this. We have 10 seconds. Your MVP, Marcus, in the NBA MVP.
Kobe Bryant.
Terrence.
I'm gonna give it to Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. All right, we won't have to wait long to find out. Thank you, guys. Joining us today, Marcus Vandenberg, a senior producer at BET.com, author of the sports blog Player Hater. He joined us from New York City. Terrence Harris, sports writer and blogger for the Houston Chronicle.
That was NPR's Tony Cox.